Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Greetings, humans. You have entered the command zone, your destination for all aspects of Elder Dragon Highlander. Enjoy your stay.
Tell me why ain't nothing but a heartache. Tell me why ain't nothing but a mistake.
We're changing the key. Tell me why.
I never wanna hear you say I want it that way.
I want it that way.
Oh boy, we are. That was whoop. That was good.
Was it?
Nope.
I think we made people's ears bleed
it
on that
so
one.
So much better than our, the options that we were doing before we got
yeah,
to that
Yeah, that's a good
song.
Point. That's a good point. They didn't
Why
see
did
all
start
that.
Doing this?
We peaked. That was the peak.
Okay. Well, also, when we jumped into the chorus, I was like, ooh, we normally just stop it as early as we can, but we really took the song all the way.
Like I liked the octave change because we weren't going to make it.
Yeah.
We weren't going to make it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, anyway, hello, everybody. You are watching / listening to the Command Zone podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Jimmy Wong.
How is it? It's Josh Lee Kwai. Today, we're going to be talking about Modern Horizons. It's a new set that's coming out in a couple of months, and it's going to include some reprints. So we're talking about the most wanted reprints in this set. And because it is a modern set,
yes,
and we happen to know a modern expert, we have our good friend, Alex Kessler from the Masters of Modern podcast here. Hello, Alex.
Hello. How are you guys?
Good. How are you?
Welcome back to the Masters of Modern. I'm your host on that podcast.
Was it hard
Alex
for you to
Kessler.
Not break in with your
so
intro?
Hard.
I'm your other
music,
host.
Music, music, music.
Ben. Oh, man. The music, music, music.
Back. Yeah, I've kept that alive.
Wow.
You just started singing.
That's
kept
so
the
funny.
Music alive.
That's what when we turn the music into actual singing. If you guys don't know, back in the day, we would just go music, 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 music. Hey, everyone, how's it going? And then start the show because we knew that there would be intro music,
right.
Even though we
and
didn't.
Then we started singing music, and now we are at this embarrassing moment where we sing. Was that Backstreet Boys or was that NSYNC?
Backstreet Boys.
That was
Backstreet
Boys.
Boys.
Oh,
come
whoa.
On. Sorry. Yeah.
I mean, we all know Backstreet Boys collectively better band. NSYNC has Justin Timberlake, though. So that's like.
Truth.
Sure. I didn't even know who was in which one to tell you.
No, Justin Timberlake is not in the
now
Backstreet
I know.
Boys.
Yeah.
All right.
How
do you
so not know? We've got Kessler here today because we're going to list a bunch of the reprints that we want reprinted in Modern Horizons, and Kessler's going to tell us how crazy these desires are, if these cards that we're going to mention are even possible, because
right.
you know Modern well enough to be able to be like, no, that would break the format.
Right, like, that's interesting about this set is you have so many, like, rules and restrictions of what could be in Modern that
right.
you'd want to be aware of.
Because anything printed in this will become legal
correct,
in Modern.
And that's such a big limitation that Wizards isn't going to, like, swing for the fences and do some cards that are like, you know, for instance.
We're not getting Mana Crypt.
Yeah, we're not getting Mana Crypt. Okay. Right. Or Soul Ring's not going to be printed into.
But if you want to get a Mana Crypt.
Oh, that's right. You can go and head on over to.
The best lead-in ever.
Alex
is here, we just fall apart.
My eyes went wide. I was like, oh my gosh, we have to do this. Man, the people looking for the time code are just going to be like, huh, yes, it's going to be even later now.
Just open up Kaladesh packs.
Head on over to cardkingdom.com/commandzone. That is our affiliate link for the show. If you want to buy cards like Mana Crypt or some of the cards that we think are going to be reprinted, if you agree with us, you can buy other cards because these are going to be reprinted
Yeah, don't
soon.
Buy the ones we're hoping are reprinted because if they get reprinted, they'll be less expensive.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so buy the ones that Alex is like, no way they reprint that.
Yeah.
I'm here to help you. you on that.
That's and right. When you buy those cards, you're going to take them and you're going to put them into an Eclipse sleeve.
That's right.
Or some other Ultra Pro sleeve. You're going to put it into an Ultra Pro deck box. You're going to play it when you draw it in a game.
Throw it at your opponent.
No, we don't throw cards at opponents. Onto your Ultra Pro playmat. Ultra Pro, another great sponsor of the show, and they really do keep all of our content flowing.
And the last way to support the show is at patreon.com/commandzone. Those are our direct supporters, the people that we love the absolute most. Not saying we don't love everyone else, but we love them a little bit more. That's just how it goes, because we get to involve them in our lives as a community. We talk to them on Discord. We do polls. We talk, you know, it's just community stuff. It's great. You can head on over to patreon.com/commandzone. We do one special thing for them. We shout out one lucky patron every episode. So this episode is dedicated to
Sante Sabatini.
Ooh, I could say that last
Sante.
Name.
Cool last name.
You rock.
Yeah. One of my favorite restaurants in Hong Kong is called Sabatini's. They have a mariachi band.
It's probably owned by Sante's family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's Italian.
Wow. Sante should get free
what
service
a coincidence.
There.
Yeah. It's really expensive, but they have really good lasagna.
Oh, I bet.
I want to say places. I've been looking at a lot of patrons lately because we've started to go over the audition videos that everybody sent in because that deadline just passed, so now we're going through them. It will be probably a few weeks because there's a lot. There's literal hundreds of them, but we are going through them, and we are going to pick one of you to be on game night. So.
That's right. Another special reason to join the Patreon.
Okay. So we're going to talk about Modern Horizons, but I want to make a disclaimer at the start here. So full disclosure, none of us sitting here at the table know anything about Modern Horizons. We haven't seen the cards yet. We know nothing about it. I want to put that out there because of game night. Sometimes Jimmy and I do get to see cards early, mm-hmm. but at the point we're recording this, we know nothing. So this is all speculation. We have the same knowledge that all of you out there have if you've gone on the internet and like looked at the couple of posts about it. So
yep.
Five basic lands.
Yeah.
Big spoiler reveal on this.
And two cards, right?
Two cards.
Yeah. So let's go over what Modern Horizons is really quickly. Here's what we know. It's going to release on June 14th. It will have 254 cards total. 249 of those cards are new to Modern. That means they are not cards that are currently legal in Modern. This will be a combination of reprints and brand new cards designed for the set.
Wow.
Non-Modern reprints.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. All the reprints in the set are reprints that are not currently legal in Modern. So, for instance, they cannot reprint Tarmogoyf as one of their reprints. That's currently legal in Modern. So the reprints we're going to ask for that we're hoping for in this set are going to be stuff that's maybe legacy legal but not Modern legal right now. It's basically stuff, this is a simplification, but stuff that's before 8th edition.
Right.
Correct?
Yes.
Okay. Or, it could have been reprinted since 8th edition, in which case it would be Modern legal and then it can't be, but that's a simplification. You'll notice there's a discrepancy, 254 cards in the set, 249 new to Modern cards. A lot of people have taken that to mean that there are five cards that are possible to be reprints from Modern, but it's not. Those are the five basic lands in the set.
Well, those are reprints. Yeah.
Five most powerful cards ever printed.
Yeah. I'm just saying, like, a lot of people I saw online when I was sort of looking through this that some people were speculating, like, so they could reprint, Tarmogoyf because they've got five spots in this. No, those are the five basic lands.
Episode. What five cards, if you got to choose five cards to be those Modern reprint cards, would they be?
Vidalcanori.
Tarmogoyf.
Not Leyland.
Tarmogoyf.
No.
Tarmogoyf at common. Tarmogoyf at uncommon. Tarmogoyf in the token slot. Going.
Why do you want Tarmogoyf? You can get one for like Tarmogoyf $40 right now. It's the cheapest it's been in its
true.
Existence.
Man, I remember when it was through the roof.
All right. Stay on track, gentlemen.
Stay on target.
So, I'm going to distract.
Yeah. Welcome to having Kessler on the show, everybody.
Some of our best and worst episodes. Just kidding, love you.
Wizards does.
I'll take best and worst.
Wizards does not. They no longer announce the MSRP for the paper product. So mm-hmm. we don't mm-hmm. know the price of the packs for Modern Horizons. However, they did announce that on Magic Online, the price per pack will be $6.99, which is generally the price that they put on Master sets.
See, that was what Ultimate Masters was.
Yes.
Online, yeah.
So, which was more expensive in paper than other Master sets.
So the guess is it will be around the $10 mark, but it might be slightly over like Ultimate Masters was. It's just a guess because they don't announce MSRP anymore. Okay. There are two cards from the set, and these are the new cards that haven't existed before that we know are in Modern Horizons. So,
Before we read this card, I want to know from you, when you knew that this was happening and you could see two cards that were going to be introduced to Modern, like, did your heart skip a beat as a Modern player, an aficionado?
It was very early predicted that this was going on. It was nice knowing that people were right, I guess.
Yeah.
And then the cards that we got, I thought one of them is really, really, really cool, and it's the first one we're going to talk about. And the other one is a character that I've wanted to see in card form for a really long time. So I think that was really exciting.
That's cool.
But as far as like impact on Modern as a format?
They're both fine.
But nothing like groundbreaking?
No, nothing that we've seen so far is going to like modify the format as we see
course, this is only two cards out of 250, so
correct.
No. Still could happen.
Yeah.
Okay, so the first one is Cabal Therapist. It's a black mana, one black mana for a 1/1 horror. It has menace, but it says, at the beginning of your pre-combat main phase, you may sacrifice a creature. When you do, choose a non-land card name, then target player reveals their hand and discards all cards with that name. So if you know you're playing against, I don't know, Tron, you could say Karn or something, right?
Right. Like right now, if someone plays a blue-red land and you play this, you can easily know to sack it on your turn to call anything out of the Phoenix deck, and you have a really high chance of calling it. Like if I knowing what, the, or like if they play a Tron,
they discard the Phoenix though.
Right.
Well, I want to call Phoenix.
Yeah, no, I'm just kidding.
Or Faith.
That's for Modern, obviously. For Commander, this card seems completely unplayable because it's too hard to know, and they have too many singleton cards. You're never getting two cards out of their hand, right?
Yeah. So they got Sweetheart.
Yeah,
you do get to sacrifice itself, which is notable. But if you, I guess if you have a lot of tokens and you know this thing isn't going away, you could one by one take cards out of someone's hand, which also sounds awful.
The one thing I thought that was interesting about the reveal is more the type of cards that they're trying to hype up, in the sense that like they are trying to offer tools to strategies that have almost been good.
Right.
So there's never been a great
Aristocrats
deck, but it's always been almost there. There's never been a great black-white tokens deck, but it's almost there. And these are both pieces for that deck to kind of maybe get it across the board. And so that's what I think a lot of the cards we're going to see in the set are.
Speaking of both, the second card is Sarah the Benevolent. It's two white-white for a planeswalker. Sarah has four loyalty. It's plus two. Creatures you control with flying get +1/+1 until end of turn. Her minus three is create a 4/4 white angel creature token with flying and vigilance, so create a Sarah angel. And her negative six, her ultimate, is you get an emblem with, if you control a creature, damage that would reduce your life total to less than one reduces it to one instead.
So it's worship.
Yeah. This feels much more commander playable to me than the other one. Yeah. That emblem's pretty dang good, honestly, if you could get it up there.
And then she plus twos it immediately, right? And then she goes up to six.
If she doesn't die on the first turn, you can ultimate. And then as long as you have a creature, it's tough to lose. Not impossible, but difficult.
And this is Sarah, a character you've really wanted to see for a long time.
Like this was like this and Urza, I think, were the before the last 18 months were the two cards I think people most often asked to get real cards of.
You kind of got Urza.
And you kind of got Urza. But he exists. He's a card you can have.
Right.
You can own anyway.
So is Richard Garfield.
Yeah. wasn't like masked. There is Urza as a card that's like a legend in some set that you can't play. Yeah, yeah. But it's called like masked something, and it's Urza with like a white like a bandage mask around his head. Someone on the internet is going to be yelling at us, telling us what it is. And then Sarah,
I'm used to those people.
I didn't actually know that the gold figure behind the character in Worship was Sarah this whole time, and now I know. So there's a bunch of, now that they've shown her like and claim that this is Sarah, you can kind of go back and be like, look at all the places Sarah showed up in old artwork.
Where'd you get that information?
The internet.
Really?
I hang out on it. People are there, like you.
Like all
just
those
like people like you.
I guess I know Vorthos enough to get that deep into it, but that's really cool.
Okay, right. So let's move on to our main topic here. This is most wanted reprints in Modern Horizons. Remember, there will be no reprints in the set that are currently Modern legal, so all of the ones on our list have to come before 8th edition and not have been reprinted since. They also won't be reprinting reserved list cards, so no original dual lands. Sorry, everybody. And they're also not going to print, obviously, like ridiculous cards like Mana Crypt.
Yeah. Modern's a pretty, I wouldn't say fragile, but it has the ability to flip on its head with the wrong card being introduced, right? Right, Alex?
Yeah, Wizards doesn't want to break Modern. I mean, I think actually the thing I really love about this set coming out is up to them announcing it, the Modern world was really worried that Arena coming out and being standard focused.
I see.
You know, obviously Commander has its own popularity, is I think it's the most popular format in Limited, but like where does Modern fit into that? And then they spent a good time in this season being like, no, with the Mythic Championship and Modern Horizons, we're still committed to this format and we believe that this format needs support and will exist.
Yeah,
that's cool.
But just like any set they produce, I think, you know, Commander is a big enough piece of the pie now that like they're never going to release anything where there's not something for the Commander players. And so I think we can expect there's going to be some reprints that like aren't necessarily there to affect Modern, right? Because they're going to have a ton of rares.
There's going to be like a six-mana spell, right?
Yeah.
Or something.
I mean, so we know that the set where it came from was Mark Rosewater and someone else that I'm forgetting their name, like during their hackathon, went to the set and were like, we want to come up with a set that just is like off the walls. In reality, they basically, we want to come up with a set that's Time Spiral 2.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
And has a high power level.
And has a high power level that's not going to go into standard, but we want it to be really cool. So let's put it. And then eventually they came to the point that was coming in the modern. But that sounds much more like a set that they're like, this is for Commander or this is for cool formats, not necessarily this is for modern specifically.
This is for not standard.
That was just the limitation that's not for standard.
Yeah.
And then
well, that makes sense too, I think, because the thing that about standard that we saw like a couple of years ago is that they released, there wasn't enough almost oversight on it, and they had to ban a bunch of cards in a row, and there's no way for them to get something into modern or slip it into modern without it directly affecting what standard is too.
And I think part of it is also they wanted to start similar to Time Spiral Block, and with Dominaria, they kind of did this. Mm-hmm. They want to be able to reference a lot of old characters or come out with a lot of old stuff that's playable outside of Unstable. And this allows them to do that without having to go to those specific planes that those things took place on.
Right. That's kind of what Conspiracy was as well.
But Conspiracy took on Fiora.
Right, it's not Conspiracy. I meant Battlebond, which this is a new plane where people just come to battle, and that's what we're basing stuff off of. Also notably, because they do design for limited, that's another point to yours, Josh, which is like there are going to be cards that cost 6, 7, maybe even 8 mana that will be fun in limited and good for Commander but never in modern, but it's still a new card that they can print into the modern without blowing it up.
I don't think it's possible for Wizards to print a 256 card set where every single card is going to be playable in modern, even if they wanted to.
Right.
At minimum.
And it wouldn't be a good idea.
Because they do that, like 600 of those cards are just going to be so overpowered that they're going to make half the format not worth it anymore.
That's good news for us because it means we're going to get some new toys, and they're going to reprint some of our old toys.
Right.
Yeah.
So, okay, let's go through the list here. We've got 10 cards. We cheated a little on one that were that Jimmy and I listed out as our most wanted reprints for Commander in this set.
That
and Alex, you're here to burst our bubble or maybe give us some hope.
So I do want to, there's like a few things that I think to look at when thinking about cards, and we'll like apply it when we go through it. I don't think anything that is too powerful for Legacy is something that Wizards is going to consider printing into modern. So a good example of that is Strip Mine, where, or even Soul Ring, where those are cards that it's banned in Legacy. It has been since I started playing Magic. Right. Wizards knows those are too powerful, and putting those in a modern, if it doesn't work there, is unlikely. The other one is cards that are in Modern's ban list, I think, are weird for Wizards to print into this set.
Right. No, like, it wouldn't make any sense. Like, to put like Top or something.
People keep people keep joking about Stoneforge Mystic and then they unban it right beforehand, which would be weird, and then it doesn't follow the rule you said of its new cards. I think that most likely those are like two things that are just like no goes.
Gotcha. Okay. So the number one card on our list, I think it's probably unlikely, but maybe.
You never know. Not with that attitude, yeah.
Okay, so it is Force of Will. Force of Will is 3 blue-blue for a counterspell, but you can discard a card from your hand, pay 1 life, and counterspell for free without paying the mana cost.
Has to be a blue card.
Exile the card. Yeah. So it's the free counterspell, like... There's a bunch, but it's the best one. Yeah. Pact of Negation in this.
No, Days. In Legacy. Pact of Negation is the one that's legal in Modern.
Right. And in Commander, those are the two we use the most. Although Days is competitive.
Days will get you.
Yeah.
It'll get you.
And there's Foil, too, which I used the other night, which was awesome. But Force of Will is the big one and the really expensive one. They did reprint it one time in Eternal Masters. What do you think the chances are? It's kind of one of the spells that keeps Legacy in check, right?
So I would say there's 3 cards that make Legacy, right? It's Brainstorm, Force of Will, and Wasteland.
Yeah.
And I think that Brainstorm and Wasteland are unlikely because I think they're more defining of what the format is.
They banned every Brainstorm variant in Modern.
Right. Yeah. I think so Brainstorm, it's not going to come in. And then Wasteland's debatable, and people have talked about it, and maybe Rush it in port as possible, but different conversation. And maybe later on the list. I don't know. But Force of Will is more of a stopgap. And one thing that keeps happening in Modern is decks just don't have a good policeman. And Thoughtseize is no longer the card that does that. For a long time, it was Thoughtseize. Like, Thoughtseize was the Force of Will of Modern. But now the format is faster. Discarding isn't that good. Getting rid of a Phoenix doesn't do anything.
It helps a lot.
Not to mention Hollow One and Dredge. And, so the format kind of needs something like Force of Will, possibly. And there's a real cost to it. Like, Wasteland combines with other cards to do unfun things. Brainstorm combines with other cards to do too powerful things.
Force of Will doesn't really combine with anything.
Stops people and makes blue cards better.
Right. And your card advantage engines aren't as good in Modern, right? So discarding or exiling the Force of Will is actually could be
potentially more of a cost. Actually.
More of a cost,
I think the question with Force of Will to me is more, does Wizards want... How big of a fence are they swinging for? We know that the best card in the set is blue. Like, they said that on the stream, that they were thinking of which card to reveal. They pointed out one. They're like, oh, I don't want to reveal this, the best card. And then it was also said in that sentence that that card was blue.
Oh, jeez.
So it could be Force of Will. There's other best blue cards. Blue is...
It could be a new card, too, right?
It could be a new card. Yeah. It could be Force of Will 2, which is you have to discard two blue cards or something. You know, who knows?
And I mean, pay three
I like what you said there, though. How big are they swinging? Because putting Force of Will in here would be a risky move. And generally, on the first one of these, they like to be a little bit more conservative. Well,
sometimes, like Conspiracy, they weren't conservative as they were with the second Conspiracy.
Well, True Name Nemesis was the big...
But that was... Well, that was Commander.
Oh, it was Commander, right.
What's
right.
the card from Conspiracy that's super risky?
Leovold from 2, yeah. But that's not risky necessarily. But
I don't think they were risking breaking any format. Powerful.
I think they...
The Conspiracies that, themselves were...
That the first right. time is where they put a lot of eggs into a basket because they don't know if there'll be a second one.
Right.
So, Conspiracy 1 had a lot of really cool conspiracy ideas. I think it was all of their conspiracy ideas. Right. And then when they had to make a second one, they're like, oh, okay, let's add color activations.
It was way worse, by the way.
Yeah.
Like, I played with you guys hundreds of games of Conspiracy. Yeah. I played 2 drafts of Conspiracy 2. Mind you, though, that one time was... I learned LaCroix, how great it was. And so now I've been on that train. So Conspiracy 2 gave me LaCroix.
Let's rewind. But back here. So back to Force of Will. I like what you said because it sounds like you're like, it's possible. It's not like crazy. Let's do a thing here at the end of each of these cards where on a 1 to 10 scale, 10 being you think it's very likely, 1 it's almost completely unlikely. How much do you think Force of Will falls on that? Like, are we at like a 4? Are we at like a 6? Like, where are we?
Are we at like a, so you say there's a chance?
7. I think it might be at an 80.
So you're saying there's a chance.
So you actually think it's...
I think it could be...
It's decently likely.
Yeah, I think wow. It's the obvious card to put in the set. It's the card that is safest to do that. It has been reprinted recently enough times that it might be less expensive than it normally would be.
I hope so, yeah. But every modern player in the world now wants one.
Oh, that's true.
Well, it's actually, that's true of every...
Wait.
Force of Will is also...
Wait, did this just reframe the entire episode?
I think it actually would make Force of Will more expensive.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah. Any card they reprint in the set that's modern playable, it becomes more expensive.
Not necessarily.
Yes.
No, not necessarily, because it depends on what rarity they print
and it depends
and
on how
much
good
they
is,
print.
Too.
But if it's Mythic, and it will be with Force of Will, then there won't be enough of
it. If
them.
A card is printed at common, fine. But even with old, like, for instance, Tarmogoyf went up after Modern Masters 1 and 2. It took till the third time to go down because people would open
It's Mythic.
It was Mythic. But but even, like, Metamorphos has been reprinted and is now $40.
Yeah,
like,
they go back up. Yeah. They go back up. I think in the short term... I'm
trying to think of a good example.
I think immediately Force of Will actually gets more expensive.
Oh, 100%.
Like, not short term even falls.
A good example is the Czechlands. So the Czechlands, before we knew they were going to be in Standard, were all, like, $1 to $2. They get printed in Standard. There's a Standard's worth of Czechlands cards now available to people, but it's now 5. And it's because every Standard player needs 4. And now every Modern player is going to need 4 Force of Wills, and they didn't have to have it before. Now, Force of Wills, and like some other cards on this list, I just think your list is powerful, so all of those are cards that could be in the rare to Mythic side of the coin.
Of course, it's Commander. We don't play not powerful cards.
Remember how we said...
Like, I think Carrion Feeder goes down.
Remember how we said don't buy the cards we're going to talk about? There is a chance that you may want to pick up
some of the
cards.
Force of Will might just become a little bit of a buy. It's expensive.
It's already up. Jeez. It already went.
Oh, because people already think...
Any of the obvious cards that could be in this set have spiked already.
But so you think, saying,
according
you think,
to Craig, my guy who watches card prices.
Yeah, Craig does. Okay. All right. So we got an 8 out of a 10, maybe a 7.5 out of 10.
7.5 out of 10.
It's pretty good.
I think like that's very good, there's obvious reasons they wouldn't do it, but there's a lot of good reasons to do it.
Okay. Jimmy, you want to take card number 2?
Yeah. Card number 2 is a card that Commander players would die to have more of, 100%, because it was only printed once.
Oh, it has gone up. It's like $45. It's gone up so fast. And it was last year?
I mean, I want to run the tape on what we said when we saw this card originally, but I immediately bought like 20 of them. Because I was like, every white deck I ever make will have this card.
I did that with Smothering Tithes recently, but I should have done it with this card.
Yeah.
Did it with Arclight Phoenix. It was great. I was drunk in Dallas. I bought 50 copies of it at $1.
Wow. Good call.
Hey, you're smart.
You should never do that. It was a Mythic that was $1.
It's like going to the grocery store when you're hungry.
Good cards.
Yeah. The second card is Teferi's Protection. 2 and a white, basically you and your entire existence phase out until the beginning of your next untaps. Or next upkeep, I believe.
The beginning of your next turn, because you do untap. So, during the phase, which is not a real thing, but that's what we used to call it. Yeah,
so this card is obviously extremely powerful for Commander. It's basically a get-out-of-jail-free card in white at instant speed.
Not just that, you can use it offensively because you can stack it. Cast Armageddon, hold, maintain priority, Teferi's Protection. Yeah. I'm out by the time Armageddon resolves. That's a mean thing that's happened to me a few times.
A few times?
You didn't play a GPLA. This is an extremely strong card, and it's from a commander set, so this is not something that's from a normal set. Do you think a card like this would even do anything in Modern?
So that's my worry of why it wouldn't be in this set, is I don't think it's that... I mean, I think it would be powerful. I think people would try making it work. Like, there are much less powerful cards that people have tried making work. I don't know if it would do anything, and phasing specifically is such a weird mechanic that I don't know if they want that in Modern.
Right.
I see.
It's my worry about this card is less on power level, because I think it's fine. I think it's more that it is...
That's your game designer self, though, but correct. As far as, like, your Modern sensibilities for, like... Is it a card that would in some way be like
I don't think it'd be
automatically X'd off the list?
It's like, not we problematic? Can't
No. It's not from a power level perspective. It's fine.
But interesting.
Like, yeah. To be able to do something like you described, A, Armageddon doesn't exist. B, you'd have to get above like 4 mana.
And
so like that doesn't really happen. As a cool fog, it's great.
But fog doesn't see play, I'm guessing.
I wish it did. I love fog.
There's no modern turbo fog?
No.
The turbo fog deck ends with Teferi's Protection,
extra
I guess.
So you're playing like Giga Drowse is probably the best. And well, no, Cryptic Command is the best fog in Modern.
But you're right, because you don't need to go away for multiple turns like other players. Mm-hmm. The fog is the same as this in 1v1. Yeah, that makes sense.
I'm learning a lot about Modern today, guys.
Yeah, that's what I'm here for.
So, okay, but you make a good point about phasing and whatnot. So what would you put this on a 1 to 10 scale of possible reprint in the set?
5.
Oh, that's not bad.
Yeah. I think it's totally possible. The fact that it's $40 and it's totally fine to be in Modern, and Wizards is going to be looking for cards that are going to be exciting for players but are also not too powerful for Modern. And
I mean, if you print this at Rare in this set, Commander players are now way interested in this set.
I also think this is a card that'll go down.
Yeah.
Like the specific cards that'll go down are cards that won't see play in Modern, but are Commander expensive, because Commander players only need one.
You're right.
Yeah.
No. Jimmy needs 20.
That's true.
I need like 2 or 3 because I've only got 2.
You in the market? You looking to buy?
Not for $45. We'll wait to see if it gets reprinted.
One thing I will say, I'm more excited about Commander cards and like conspiracy cards coming into this set than I am about legacy cards.
Conspiracy cards?
Yeah, conspiracy cards, commander cards, battle bond cards.
Modern Horizons. I see.
Yeah, I'm more excited about like the more modern new cards than I am for older legacy cards. Partially because a lot of...
So you're more excited for Teferi's Protection than Force of Will, basically?
No, not that sentence. Oh, okay. But she is not on your list, but I am most excited about Cass being in the set than any other card.
Oh, okay. Well, that's just because it has your name.
Well, absolutely. Well, also, it's Snapcaster Mage every turn. Yeah. Also, it has the weird problem that there's no non-foil printing. So for competitive play, she's...
Oh, very hard to play. Yeah, because it
could be a marked card. Yeah, there's like a need to print her. She's not too powerful for Modern, and she's the best card ever printed in Magic.
We're talking about Kess, by the way, which Descendant Mage. Also gave... You were the person that did the spoiler review for it.
They were like, hey, this name has his name. Let's let him preview it. Isn't Wizards cool?
That is amazing.
The best moment ever? Yeah. And then that was not the last time I was on the podcast, but the last time before that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go to card number 3 here. We're gonna have to move a little faster, I think. Okay.
I think it's easier as we...
3 is Sylvan Library. This is a very old card from Alpha. It's 1 in a green for an enchantment. At the beginning, or on your draw step, you actually draw
three cards,
and then you put them all back, or sorry, you put 2 back and keep 1, or for every card past the first one you want to keep, you pay 4 life. So you can keep all 3 for 8 life.
Draw 3 cards, take 8 life.
You also get to put them back and then do that again, so if there's a card there you just don't want to draw yet, you can just keep not drawing it for a few turns. Mm-hmm. It's very, very good and pretty expensive. I think it's around $25 or
green Sensei's Divining Top.
Yeah, basically. Yep. That sentence leads me to believe you probably are going to say no way this could happen because top is banned in Modern.
There's 3 issues. There's the top is banned in Modern, and part of that, the reason for that is not even power level, but it's the fact that top... Miracles is the power level issue, and then Counterbalance is the other big one.
Yeah,
Counterbalance. The fact that you can lock people out with Counterbalance softly with top, but that's not why it's banned. It's banned because tournaments no longer work.
It just takes forever.
Good top player will do fine, but there's 1,000 bad ones in the room, and all of them will go to time, and then every turn you can... I didn't find the card, but I have to think about it. Is this card? Okay, I'm going to fetch, get another one. Not that good play.
Sylvan has a little bit less of that because you can't do it on other people's turn, but it still has, it suffers from that.
So there's that. And then the other issue with Sylvan is it's old, and old cards have weird rules wording. Yeah. And the fact that you draw 3 cards instead of looking at them has ripe cheating potential that has always been problematic with the card, even in Legacy.
Right.
And that if I was going to print cards for elves, which is where this would go, there are better cards that are less bad for tournament organization and like not getting people DQ'd accidentally than the Sylvan Library. It's also 2-mana draw 3 cards in green, which I think is too good.
Yeah.
So on a 1 to 10 scale?
2.
Two.
Okay.
This is, though, I will say, Wizards could just decide that they want to swing with the fences on this one as two. This is like.
Couldn't you do like Sultai Death Shadow with this and just immediately get to just
Death Shadow? I think it might be a one. Yeah. I forgot about Death Shadow.
Death Shadow seems like it's
very. Oh, yeah, because you're just like, I want to take the damage.
Yeah, I'll take 8 and draw 3 cards. Fine.
And I'll fetch, okay, but 9/9 on turn 3.
Next card is one that's also been reprinted recently, but again, huge impact in Commander. It's Toxic Deluge.
So this is...
Let me... it's 2 and a black.
All right.
For a sorcery, and when you cast it, you pay X life, and then it gives all creatures negative X until end of turn.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Very effective board wipe.
Yeah, it's a very cheap board wipe.
I think the Death Shadows issue here is the one I'm most afraid of. The fact that I can, like, -8 and keep my Death Shadow alive for the turn, and then your board is going to be wiped, and that combo might... Feels like something Wizards would
think. Oh, your Death Shadow always lives, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not always. There's ways for it to not. If you minus... Because it doesn't go negative.
Oh, right. Eventually, so if you minus 13 or above. Okay,
Okay.
But I mean, if you minus 13 or 12 or less, it's always going to live. That's kind of crazy.
And then...
You'd have to be at that life, though, for the Death Shadow to even be on the battlefield. Right?
You have to be at 1.
Super
so,
low,
so
yeah.
So minus anything more than -11 kills it.
Yeah, okay.
Or you
die.
And you,
One or the other.
Okay.
But regardless, you could still be like turn...
It's still great with it, basically. Yeah,
you can turn 1 Death Shadow, turn...
Wait, no, you can't. Doesn't it just die immediately?
Yeah, sorry, you would turn 3.
You would Toxic Deluge exactly to the total you want and then play Death Shadow for the biggest impact. Yeah.
Well, normally that... Yeah. I mean, you can get Death Shadows in the play without this, and then after it's in play, go.
That's what I'm saying. You can play it once it's already in play, and then
because you can, you can
-8 yourself.
Shadow Wraith. What's the Wraith that you can cycle for -2 life?
Oh yeah. I just call it Cycle Wraith.
You can cycle Wraith twice, and then fetch for 3 damage to yourself, and then you're able to play it, and then you can just go on.
Nuts.
The other reason Toxic Deluge, I think that Pernicious Deed is more likely if I had to pick a card. In the world that's similar in power level because...
Less exciting because it's not as expensive.
It's not... Yeah. At one point
it's still
it was expensive.
Good.
I think if you were to pick between the two, which was more likely, that one is more
fair. It's CMC-based rather than life-based. Yeah. Okay. So that on a 1 to 10 scale?
4.
Okay.
That's a 4.
I don't think it's too low. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm using the Ben Bateman scale. He's gone on a rant recently, and now I've, I guess, picked up on it, where, like, people give movie ratings only things between 5 and 10.
Yeah.
No one gives it a 4. So he gave Dumbo a 5, but he liked it. Because the movie was, like, medium to mediocre.
Isn't that, like, a 6 if you liked it? 5 is, like, I was impartial, and then below 5 is, like, I started to dislike it.
Ambivalent?
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe his default setting is, like...
We are 5. Taught that by social media.
That is my default setting. Okay. I generally like things before I don't like them.
And true.
Well, then you're really going to like the next card on our list. But before we get into that, it's time to take a quick break for a message from our sponsors.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now, all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, and we're back. We're talking about all the cards we're hoping get reprinted in Modern Horizons. Jimmy, what's the next card on the list?
It's Cabal Coffers. This is a land that helps you tap for way more mana, depending on how many swamps you have. I believe it's 3 to activate. Tap in, you add black to your mana pool for every swamp you control.
2 to activate.
2 to activate, my bad.
But you have to tap the Cabal Coffers
so
also.
Yeah, so it's kind of like...
It takes you three lands. Yeah,
3 lands.
I think this card's totally fine in Modern.
Won't do anything?
There are no,
it would do something. You would play this card. I mean, it would be good.
Would they do
it,
the Urborg
it's
thing?
Like, it's yeah, they do the Urborg thing. It's kind of perfect in the sense that it like would be good in a strategy that's been on the borderline this whole time. So that's the type of thing that Wizards may want to encourage.
There's not a ton of decks that are like ending the game with like 7 lands in play, right? So it's probably not creating a ton of mana in most games.
And most you're getting probably net 5 off of it. Like I think that's, and then you're getting net 7.
And you have to do a lot of work to get to that point.
Right. But like Mono Black Devotion is a deck like that's always been borderline that people want to be better than it is. And this is another tool for that deck. And I can see Wizards doing it. The question on this is just like, how many lands are in this set? And will they even remember Cabal Coffers exists? But I think this would be a card that I would say.
Oh, they know it exists.
Okay.
Do you think they'd do a cycle of lands if they were to do something like Cabal Coffers? Or is that just too risky at that point?
Like doing a cycle of Cabal Coffers, one for each color combo?
Oh,
that would be sweet.
That would be sweet.
Do like, what are the other...
There's not Urborgs in the other colors, though, so they'd be quite a bit less good.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, like it'd be sweet to have a white one, because...
Green Cabal Coffers would be amazing.
Yeah, just because they have all the far
red and white both need one.
Well, you just play Forest.
Rampant Growths and the...
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Green's busted.
And the red one would be really good, because Valakut decks exist in Modern, so you would, like, be... Those decks already want to play with every card is a Mountain X.
Right. Yeah,
like
true.
They're playing all of the green mount, the forest mountains in the game because they just want to be able to Valakut easier. And then
I don't think they'll do something
off.
As lazy as make a Cabal Coffers for every color, though. It just seems kind of boring.
Oh yeah,
I'd like for them cool. to.
That would be exciting.
Yeah. I could see them doing one in a set and then another one a year and a half down the road, and then eventually doling it out. But I don't see them going like, "Here's 4 lands in the set." You know,
the coolest theory I've heard on this, and they've said something similar. They don't know if they do it, but them attempting to start finishing the allied swords.
Yeah,
that was a cool theory. That like honestly, they can do it. Where
and the swords aren't that powerful in Modern.
In Modern, they're fine. Yeah, they're like and to bad because Abrupt Decay exists.
Right,
and they're a lot of mana and like they're way too powerful for Standard. So it's kind of the perfect place to put them.
I see.
That would be cool. Okay, so 1 to 10 Cabal Coffers.
8, 7. It's more partially just I think Wizards might forget.
I promise they won't forget yet because we've literally had conversations with them where they asked, what cards do Commander players want to... So they have a list somewhere that I've typed for them and it has Cabal Coffers on it.
So maybe less points because of how many lands do they want in this set and is this going to be one of the ones they prioritize?
Right.
Exactly. How exciting is this of lands they could add? As far as power level concerns, 9-8. Like I don't think
that
it's
would be
problematic.
Sweet.
Yeah. Okay. All right, well the next card on the list is Dak Faden. This is one that you actually came up with for the show. It's,
well, you guys had no red cards, and I was disappointed in you.
Well, yeah, let's just not talk about the general power level of red.
Because red cards tend to be not that expensive.
Yeah.
It's fair.
Or good sometimes. There's,
that's one.
Well, except for this one, yeah.
Listen, that's a red-blue card.
Yeah, exactly.
It's actually the best red-blue card ever printed. I'm challenging the world on that.
Yeah, I'm not ready to have that argument. Let's read Dak
for you. One, a blue and a red for a 3 loyalty planeswalker. Dak, +1, target player draws 2 cards, then discards 2 cards. -2, gain control of target artifact. And, of course, the emblem, -6, you get an emblem with whenever you cast a spell that targets one or more permanents, gain control of those permanents.
I've never ever seen it ultimate, but...
Me neither.
Mm-hmm. I see it in a ton of decks, and it's awesome, and just stealing an artifact is so good.
Well, that's like, it's plus gets much more powerful in Modern, while its minus gets worse in Modern, which I think is interesting. The thing to remember about this set is it was locked before Phoenix was ever a staple card in Modern.
So they didn't know to, like, discard. Be careful about cards that help that.
We don't want to put looting effects or blue-red effects. So that's something, like, that was, we had an episode where we were doing the top best card in every color combination on the Masters of Modern that comes out this week. And Dak Faden won
Synergy.
Blue-red. But one of the conversations was on the cascade effect. So what's the blue-green cascade creature?
Agent.
So Shardless Agent is a card that everyone's talking about being reprinted in Modern Horizons, but how soon did they lock the set towards when Bloodbraid Elf was unbanned?
Right.
And I don't know that. I don't think they publicly have said that. But if it
you
was
don't think they can change a couple of things past those cards becoming banned because it's so long before it goes to print?
There's a moment they can't. I don't know when that moment is, and they might have unbanned Bloodbraid Elf early enough, knowing that, like, oh, let's see if this is okay, and then we can see if we can add Charlotte's Agent, or was it, like, after the fact, and then that Charlotte's Agent was just, like, Agent is better than Bloodbraid Elf. That is a strong statement that I'm willing to at least make right now for convenience sake, and would you print a better Bloodbraid Elf if you're too afraid of Bloodbraid Elf being in the format?
Right. But when was Bloodbraid Elf unbanned?
Last February.
Yeah. Like
February.
Last January. Right
so
before the Pro Tour,
only
right
like 13 Pro months ago?
Yeah.
So that's my guess is
close.
That they...
It's close. It's like
yeah,
not,
my guess is it's probably not quite enough time.
It was when Jace was unbanned.
Yeah.
So...
Okay. Back to Dak Faden.
Yes.
So probably the looting effect, it's not as scary to them when they lock the set.
Yes.
Is there something else about it that would then be scary to them?
No.
If it's not that, then...
It's not stealing artifacts. If anything, they want more versatile cards in Modern
artifacts.
That can... Like, one of the complaints about Modern classically is, there's too many things that I have to be able to stop. How do I find room for my Rest of Pieces and Stony Silences? And Dak Faden is a, because this one card just randomly hoses artifacts, so I can focus on the graveyard.
And it does other stuff in case I'm not playing against artifacts.
So the question is how good is 3-mana double looter?
Draw 2, discard 2.
And is that too good?
I would assume pretty good that people are going to be flashing back Faithless Looting for 2 and a red.
I mean, it's pretty good now, but they didn't know about that necessarily.
Yeah. And I would say that this is a card, I think this could very easily be the second Planeswalker. I think of all the Planeswalkers they could add, all the ones that say... Commander, they could be your commander, are unlikely.
Yeah.
I think they don't want cards that say this can be your commander in this set.
They don't want it in sets that aren't commander focused, I don't think. Or Battle Bond or Conspiracy, maybe.
Just makes it too confusing.
Yeah. Well, because those are like meant to be like legendary focused.
Yeah.
And this one is very much like, this piece of text is not going to matter in this draft format or Modern.
And it's
Modern.
Named after that format. Yeah. It says Modern in the name of it. Yeah. That totally makes sense to me. So 1 to 10, Dak Faden.
7.
Oh, pretty high.
Yeah, that's pretty high.
Force of Will is actually our highest card so far, our most likely on our list.
I guess there has to be a lot of conversation around it,
Yeah.
So iconic.
It'll sell the set for sure.
Yeah. It'll sell the set.
It'll change Modern a lot.
It'll change Modern. I don't know if a lot is a strong word. It just definitely makes it different.
Okay.
That's kind of my point on it is that
I mean, you obviously know more about Modern than I do, so I'm not going to fight you on that.
It's going to be very, very good in the format. Like, don't get me wrong, but you don't have Brainstorm. You don't have cards that you want to... play. It'll be interesting to see how Force of Will, because Force of Will's biggest effect on Legacy is a card that has blue in its converted mana cost, or its cost, is just better naturally because you can discard
it
the Force.
The time,
worst
right?
case.
They're oh, well, this card, I could always play it, because worst case, I'll just discard it to Force.
I don't know how good Baleful Strix is in Legacy if it doesn't have blue in it. It's a really good card, and one of the best cards, but that's partially because you can always discard it to Force of Will.
All right, let's move along here to number 7, and it is Rhystic Study. This is 2 and a blue for an enchantment, and anytime one of your opponents casts a spell, if they don't pay one, then you draw a card. It's the famous, you can pay one for that? You can pay one for that? You can pay one. Everybody's favorite. My new favorite is, you going to pay two, or do I get a treasure?
Yeah. Smothering Tide.
I've had both of them on the battlefield one time now.
That's so annoying.
It's super annoying. Even I was annoyed by myself. Okay, sorry. So Rhystic Study. What do you think about this as a possibility? Is it printable?
I think power level wise, it's
it'll
fine.
Do nothing, right? Nobody will play
it's
it.
It's a 9 or a 10.
You could discard to Force.
That's true. If they print both. It is blue.
Yeah.
It's a card that just gets progressively worse as the game goes on, right?
Yeah, I think it's you tapping out for 3 mana
nothing.
To do nothing is not good.
In a format with a ton of 1 and 2 drops too.
Yeah,
right?
You the never want to tap out on 3.
Like the comparable a 3 mana enchantment that people cast in Modern that's good is Blood Moon.
Right.
Okay.
Because it's hey, I win sometimes.
Yes. And this card doesn't do that. And I guess comparable cards, because it's like one of the reasons it's powerful in Commander is you get 4 people's turns worth the people trying to pay for it.
Against 1-on-1. Actually, when you get down to 1-on-1 and you still have Rhystic Study out, it's not very good. Yeah.
I'd rather play Phyrexian Arena or Jace or any other repeatable, and a baby Jace, not 4-mana Jace.
So you think it's totally fine power level wise. Is there any other reason you can think of that it wouldn't be reprinted? Because this would, another card like Teferi's Protection, I think, that would single-handedly make Commander players excited about the set.
Yeah. Yep. The only thing I can think of being problematic is if it's terrible to play Unlimited, but that's something I don't know.
I think in 1-on-1, it's totally fine.
Yeah, I think it's fine. No, I don't think
you play that card most of the time on the 1-on-1. Yeah. If it was Mystic Remora, it'd be a different story, but...
Sure, I agree with that. I, it, like, the only... Your complaint is the one thing I can think of that's problematic about it, really.
Yeah, I don't think unlimited is a problem because it's just like, not going
to
come up.
You're going to pay extra? In fact, if anything, it's better because now you have to pay attention on their turn.
Yeah, that's true. It'll make you a better player. Yeah. All right, so one out of ten.
On Risk of Study?
Yeah.
How confident am I it's going to be in the set?
Well, possibility-wise, it sounds like it's...
Possible it's a 10.
It's a 10. Like, there's absolutely no reason not to do it.
Nothing not to do it.
Okay. The rest is all up to, like, the limited environment, what other rares are. Like, yeah, exactly.
Risk of Study seems like a good example of the perfect kind of card to print into the set safely.
Yeah, because it'll be fun and limited. Like, people like that card. People will try playing it. It'll also teach people that it's bad in 1v1 that people, like, forget not having played with it since it was in Standard.
Yeah.
And it's so awesome in Commander.
Yeah.
They think it's going to be, yeah.
Kind of with Teferi's Protection, this is a better card than Teferi's Protection because it doesn't have all the rules baggage of phasing attached to it.
Right.
So it's like, this card makes people excited in Commander. It's fun, it's cool, it's iconic, and it does nothing problematic in Modern.
And it just takes up a rare slot. It wouldn't have to be a Mythic.
It's an uncommon, isn't it?
They'd put this at rare, though, wouldn't they?
I don't know.
I think they would.
I think they would, too. Well, who knows?
I think they could be an uncommon. I think it'd be fine as an uncommon.
Interesting.
Well, uncommons in Master Sets, uncommons don't depreciate. Commons are the thing that really will just wreck your price. As an uncommon, you'll bounce back from that if you're worried about, like, people's collections will become worse.
Right.
I see.
I would also say it's possible there's a draft archetype where it's particularly good if there's some kind of Staxi archetype or something like that that's like making it harder to pay the one and you can kind of eke out advantage. It's possible.
Blue-white stacks in a limited format.
They could have a couple of them.
Right? No, I like, want that.
Good old Norn's Annex.
They could have like a Thalia and a something else and then just be like, okay, this is a thing you can try and put together.
Force Will, you have this would be weird if they did this, but what's the 3-mana artifact that has taps?
Turnosphere?
Taps things down, and then every turn it taps one thing less.
Ensnaring Bridge?
No.
Oh, it's got fading on it?
It's got fading.
Tanglewire?
Tanglewire.
I don't think they'll print Tanglewire. I think that's too powerful, but like those type of effects exist.
Right.
And I can definitely see them printing... Like the one thing that we have no idea to predict is what type of like Cabal Therapist like cards.
Right.
Could they print Tangle Therapist, where it's like...
All the new cards are therapists.
Yeah, I love it. I'm sad. One joke that's good about is that it can't be a human because the deck humans exists. Like the one thing we're not going to see, like humans might not exist in this set.
Just because they don't want to make that deck stronger.
So good already.
Yeah, humans are like just every creature type human is problematic.
Right.
All right, let's go on to card number 8 here.
Okay. Yes, this is Mirari's Wake. 3, a green and a white for an enchantment, and it says our creatures get +1/+1, as well as whenever you tap a land for mana, add another type of mana for whatever type that land tap for. I do not write the rules text on...
He also didn't read it. He just did it from memory.
Yeah, but basically you double your mana and your creatures get +1/+1. Yeah, it's an anthem.
It's a 10, 9.
You don't think it's problematic at all, obviously?
From a power level perspective,
it's a 5 mana do-nothing enchantment.
Yeah.
It's exciting. I mean, it won't do nothing. Like, I think there are decks in there that would try playing it.
Really?
I think it's, like, not unplayable in Modern, but I think it's, like...
Yeah.
Not, like, there's ramp decks. Like Red-Green Tron is a deck that exists.
And right,
doing, like, a red or, like, a Naya... Sorry, not Red-Green. White-Green Tron is a deck that exists.
Well, this is also more ways for people to play Emrakul, right?
Right. Yeah, there's, like, different things you could do with it. Getting 10 mana the turn you untap with it is a lot of mana.
That's
12
true.
Mana, technically, so you can play most of the Eldrazi. So I think people will try making it work. It also, it's not a do-nothing. Like, when it enters play,
it pumps your team.
And that's a thing that is relevant. So it kind of is, like, a little bit of a Planeswalker. In the sense that it does two different things that are both powerful. If Sarah has a chance of seeing play, this does. But I think it's fine. Like, I don't think there's anything about it that I'm like, oh, man, that's terrifying. Force of Will is way more terrifying.
All right, sweet. Okay.
By the way, everything that's been 3 mana or up has been like, nah, it's okay for the most part.
Yes.
Unless it deals something exactly with, like, a deck in a format like, Shadow.
Colorless things are terrifying that are expensive.
Right.
So, like, because Tron exists, anything that can make... Anything that you can cast for 7 colorless mana that's costed to be
powerful.
A 7 drop
is
scary.
Very, yeah, yeah.
And then anything that would go into like Eldrazi Titan decks or Amulet Titan decks are things that are like you know, Mind's Desire. They copy your spells.
Hive Mind.
Hive Mind is a kind of card that deck plays because so that type of effects are really scary that can like win the game.
Yeah.
But this is just good. I mean, what's the new green enchantment that untaps lands every turn?
Wilderness Reclamation.
Like, it's not that much better than Wilderness Reclamation. Yeah.
That card seems like absurd. I think
Wilderness Reclamation might be better in something like Modern because you play it and then you protect
untap,
it. Yeah, you untap right away.
And if you play two, oh my gosh.
Okay, we got two more cards, kind of. Number 9 here is Aura Shards.
Mm-hmm.
That's 1 green and white for an enchantment, and anytime you have a creature enter the battlefield, you can destroy target enchantment or artifact. So...
10.
Just seems fine. Yeah, totally, it seems
totally,
fine.
Yeah. Totally fine.
It's a do nothing enchantment.
Because you're only bringing in cards into sideboard and modern against specifically that. So this is like a card that requires you to do more with it to even have it work.
So the two best artifact decks in modern, three if you want to include affinity as multiple decks, are affinity, historically are affinity and like prison control decks. And those two decks, R-Shards is good against prison control. I would definitely bring it in against them. I think that, I don't know if it's the best option, but it seems pretty good.
Well, depending on your deck too, if you have a lot of creatures.
Humans, if you're a green white humans deck that needs something that's like repeatable, great. So playable. Affinity, it's bad. Like, I tapped out on turn three so that on my next turn I can stop your 14-14 flying.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, you have a Blink Moth Nexus?
I guess I'm dead.
Okay, you're dead.
That's good news because the last three cards were all enchantments that are somewhere around the $20.
And ones that I want.
More.
Yeah. I want them back.
You want them in multiple of your decks, right? Like, that is just they're all good cards. So it's nice to see that those are all possibilities.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think the biggest thing hurting them is how many do nothing enchantments is there going to be in the set.
Right.
But like Mirari's Wake would be mythic. Like, that is a mythic card if I've ever seen one. Rhystic Study, I think, could be uncommon, and I think so could R-Shards.
Yeah, I'd be surprised if they put Rhystic at uncommon. I bet they put it at rare. It'd be cool if it was uncommon.
It'd be really cool. Yeah, they kind of did that with the arena, right?
I'd be surprised
they
did that.
Didn't they print one of the arenas at uncommon?
I don't know.
Not arena, sorry. Altar.
Oh.
No, that was rare.
No, it was rare.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. My brain is a mush right now.
No, it was in Ultimate Masters, right?
Yeah, it was.
It was rare.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it was a $35-$40 card before that, and it just,
I think that's again an example of a great kind of card. Yeah. Would Phyrexian Altar destroy modern?
I think it would be fine.
Yeah.
I think
so. That's definitely the sweet
good.
Spot here.
I think the one that makes you two mana is too good.
Yeah.
Astronauts Altar. The biggest question with it is,
because the Tron decks and stuff. Well, no, they're not going to play
off. Crank Clan Ironworks just got banned for being kind of that effect. And do you want it? Once again, that happened after Wizards made the set. So, like, they could have put Phyrexian Altar in this set and been like, yeah, it'll be fine. And then
KCI's rise was not foreseen.
Right.
Gotcha.
But KCI was doing really well before then. I think that both the altars are unlikely.
Yeah. Okay. Nice. So, number 10, we cheated a little bit here. This was another one you suggested, Kessler, a good one. It is the Confluence Cycle.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to read all five of them, but every mono color has a cycle that is a... Well, they're not all instants either. Some of them are sorceries. They have three effects, mm-hmm. and you can choose to do any number of those effects up to three times. So you can say Mystic Confluence is the one that I play the most.
Is the big one, yeah.
But I think the red one might be the best one in modern.
Blue
but
and red are the ones that... Blue, red are the most excited, then probably white, then black. Green is the bad one.
So, for example, Mystic Confluence is three blue for an instant, and it has three modes. One is target player plays... counter target spell unless the player plays three more.
Mm-hmm.
Bounce a creature,
mm-hmm.
or draw a card.
Is it creature or permanent?
It's creature.
Okay.
And so you can also bounce three creatures because you get to choose three modes, but you can choose the same one twice. Or you can say, hey, pay six more for that because you have a bunch of open mana and I'll draw a card.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can say, I'm just going to draw three cards.
Yeah.
You know, or some combination thereof.
Incredible flexibility, both spells.
I mean, Crypto Command is one of the best cards in modern history, and this is that card. Plus one mana, but plus a lot of power level. So I think it's fine. I think all of these cards, are like more locks than anything else that we've talked about.
Oh, really?
No way.
Firelight Confluence is the one that sees the most play in Legacy, right? I remember the price of it was very high because of Legacy.
Yeah,
because
it just does a lot.
Yeah.
it wipes the board. It'd be really good in Modern. Like,
that's the one they would take the hardest look at, I think.
Yeah. Well, from a power level perspective, it's fine because it's just a good red 5-mana board wipe or 4-mana board wipe, which is like...
Fine.
Dealing 3 damage to all creatures for 5 mana is like, or it's 4 damage.
Four damage. Yeah. 4 mana, right? 2 red.
Yes, 2 red, red.
2 red, red does 1 damage to each creature, 2 damage to each player. Or draw a card.
Discard. Jimmy's looking it up right now, everybody. Nobody uses the third thing.
I know. We never do. It's 1 damage to each creature or 2 damage to each opponent or destroy target artifact.
That's what it is.
Really relevant,
like,
right?
How come I've never seen anybody do that with it? They always just go damage to each creature.
Yeah,
done.
Well, you're killing lots of stuff.
So. I've seen people use the destroy artifact over target player.
It seems like I should have because it's commander, but I feel like they always use this board.
Like,
anyway.
2 damage to everything, destroy that soul ring.
Yeah,
happy about
that.
Right,
again, you get to choose 3 times, so that would make me think that these are too powerful because, like, Cryptic Command already being like one of the most powerful and best cards in the format, this just adds a whole nother layer of cards that are like, well, now you can even be more flexible with these cards.
5 mana is a lot of mana. Holding, like, there's like mana drain exists at 5 mana and has never seen play in modern. So, like,
Yeah, spell swindle exists too.
Right.
That's
yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, this is it's better because you can draw cards and they don't do like anything.
It's a lot more creatures versatile. Is relevant. I think you'd see play, but I think you'd see like one ofs in decks. I don't think you'd see a deck with like four cryptic commands and four this. And the other three are just like medium and would be cool if they saw play. And like I would think these are all five fine to play.
I see.
I don't think there's any way they do Force of Will and Mystic Confluence.
I think we're getting two counterspells.
But two 5-mana counterspells?
Well, the Force of Will is not a 5-mana.
I know, but I'm just saying, I don't think they're going to do both of them in the. I would think they would do just do regular counterspell.
Yeah.
That's what everyone's talking about. The problem with regular counterspell versus other counterspells is it's just the best.
Right.
And what it does. So, like, Remand becomes bad. Like, all these other ones that are played become no longer an option. And Wizards doesn't like doing that. They don't want, like, and it's not that much better than the Delve counterspell. Like,
because even Force of Will, if you want to be better, you have to discard or exile a card
like,
from your hand.
Like, there is a cost to Force of Will that is not necessarily better than Remand.
Right.
Or not necessarily better than Cryptic Command. Not strictly better. But Counterspell is just strictly better than Remand.
Right.
Or it's strictly better than, what's Logic Knot? Is what I'm thinking of. Like
cancel.
Cancel for sure. It's literally
strictly better
than cancel.
Yeah.
I guess, fine. It's not literally that.
Because
Spell Snare exists.
Yeah. Okay. We get it.
I'm a daisy regardless.
So you think it could be possible Force of Will and Mystic Confluence in the same set?
Yeah. I mean, my bets are really on Flusterstorm and
Flusterstorm.
Because Flusterstorm is like, let's hit on Storm, the card, and there's no way else to get into Modern. Because they're never going to print Storm in Standard. And so this is like their one chance to do that.
Right. They could print it in a supplementary product. Oh, it wouldn't put it into Modern.
Right. They have printed it in supplementary products.
They could print it into Standard. What's it going to do in Standard?
The word Storm is not allowed to show up in Standard.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
That's an actual rule?
It's the Storm Scale is named after. So the
Storm, I know the Storm Scale. Yeah, Mark's Storm Scale.
So Mark Rosewater created the Storm Scale, which is a list of 1 to
stuff
10.
We're not
if it has
again.
A 10, it can no longer be printed into Standard ever. And it's named after the mechanic Storm, which is a perfect 10. there's not a rule, because I think Madness was like a 7 for a long time, and then it was reprinted in the set. So like it could happen. I just would be.
It's unlikely.
It'd be.
Okay, I got one. Yep. Wait, I got one more question here. I have one more card. I'm just going to add it. I'm going to audible it.
Ooh, cool. Let's do it.
Could they reprint Vidalcan Orrery?
Yeah, it's in Modern. You could just.
So the answer is no. Actually, they can't.
They can't.
It was a trick question, and you failed, Alex.
But they can reprint a new one.
Hey,
a red ley line that gives everything flash.
Yeah, that'd be pretty good. Yeah.
What are the chances of a Hill Ogre being reprinted?
I have no idea.
What about Giant Spider?
Absolutely not. I know that one. I don't know the last time Hill Ogre was printed.
Yeah, exactly. Hill Ogre, I mean, it's been so
long.
Giant
Spider gets printed all the time.
Well, Giant Spider was in like all the M sets.
Oh, that's right.
It broke the record for longest number of print. I think.
What about Throne of Bone? What's the chance that that can come back in Modern Horizons?
That name's great.
I know. It was one of the cards we always talked about as kids.
I keep playing Apex, and there's Bone or Skull Town, and I keep calling it Bone City. And
Bone City. All right. Well, we actually have something else that we want to talk about today on the podcast because you are our local Modern aficionado. Ben Bateman is somewhere on the other side of the city. We wanted to talk about something that's actually very exciting, I think, for competitive Magic, and it may have an effect on Commander players as well, and that is the London Mulligan. It's a brand new Mulligan rule that's being tested out for the Mythic Championship 2 in London. The first Mythic Championship will be at PAX East, and it will be have happened.
That's the Mythic Invitational.
Mythic Invitational this weekend.
The Mythic Championship is the one Autumn Burchett won like
Too
a couple
many
weeks ago.
Mythic things.
Mythic,
yeah, the word Mythic is
Championship
to me.
2 is April 26th to the 28th, and that will be for War of the Spark. But it's going to be a modern tournament. So War of the Spark Limited will be played at that Mythic Championship, but Modern will be the constructed format for it, and they're testing out this new London Mulligan.
And
let me just explain it really quick before we get into it. So if you don't know, the London Mulligan rule will be, here's the ruling. When you mulligan for the nth time, the letter N, you draw 7 cards, then put N cards on the bottom of your library in any order. So for example, let's say you're taking a second mulligan of a game, what we would often call a mulligan to 5. This is in 1v1. You'll draw 7 cards, select 2, and place those 2 on the bottom of your library in any order, and then you will decide whether to keep or mulligan again. So if you go down to 4, you'd still draw 7, choose 3 cards, put 3 on the bottom, and then decide whether to keep the 4. So basically, you're keeping the best cards out of 7, but you're mulliganing, you're ending up with the same amount of cards.
The specificity of the moment you mulligan is like almost exclusively exists for serum powder.
Yeah, yeah.
So like the way they explained it on whatever stream they announced it on was you mulligan. So say you've mulliganed five times, you draw seven cards, and then you put two of those cards into your deck, and then that's the mulligan.
Yeah.
But there's a shuffle effect timing thing that happens after because of
Serum powder. Which is an obscure card that affects mulligans, basically.
Basically, you get a free mulligan if it's in your mulliganed hand.
Yeah.
You can exile it.
Otherwise, it's a three-mana artifact that taps for one.
Soul Ring.
Yeah.
This is being tested out.
Soul Ring.
It's not something necessarily they're going to adopt. We went to the Vancouver Mulligan just recently, actually, and it's going to happen at this tournament, but there's no guarantee that that's going to be like the rule from now on, right? They're going to try it out. So there's a couple of questions here, Kessler. One is, they're going to test out for London. What do you think about the rule? How's it going to affect?
Well, first off, I think that, and this is no offense to the people of Vancouver, way better name.
Yeah. Okay.
London's sure. London is a like, yeah.
You just like London better than Vancouver, so it's a better name?
Yeah.
Wow. That's
Jimmy grew up really close to Vancouver.
Yeah. It's cool though.
But you didn't grow up in Vancouver.
But I went there pretty much every year.
It's cool.
Yeah, it was cool.
The Loading Ready Run people all got really mad at you. Just
cooler,
FYI. They're Victoria,
the
I know.
I went to London. Okay.
Yeah, they're from Victoria. Victoria Mondlin, also a better name.
All right, we digress.
All right, so I think it's very powerful. I think they're like Wizards is very smart on testing this at a modern. Like, they know that the place that this
like, could be the most broken.
Most broken, that's high profile, is Modern, because like Legacy, they've kind of given up on. No offense to Legacy players, I love Legacy, it's dying. Vintage is obviously only basically a Modo.
They're not
format.
Making any decisions based on those two formats.
Yeah,
right. They're not
considering
making,
no one can play them without a gigantic entry fee.
Right, and so Modern is that one that it is though, and it Pro Tour is the best place to test it. You have the Mythic Championship is the best place to test it. You have the best players in the world trying to do it. Kind of the reason they stopped for a second doing Modern Pro Tours was because it would break the format too quickly. Pros would figure it out that they couldn't do it. So this is the perfect time to test it. There's talk about wanting the ban cards before this, and because Faithless Looting is really good, Angels or Phoenix decks are really good. And with that in mind, this is a test. You don't ruin your control before you do an experiment.
So you don't think they're going to ban anything?
They're not going to ban anything before this.
Okay.
But then, how is it good? I think way more games happen.
That's the argument in favor of it, right? Is that there's way less games where, basically, when LSV was in the finals of was it Pro Tour or whatever, and he multiple four.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it was just auto lose in the finals, the deciding game. And it was just like, really,
we can never have this happen again.
It just sucked the wind out of the sails for anybody watching it because it didn't matter. Play skill didn't play into the deciding game. And so they want play skill to matter more, or at least seem to matter more.
Right. And I think there's things I would change with the Mulligan rule as currently written. For instance, and Commander is different even. So like, to be totally honest, I don't think you should shuffle every time in Commander. I think you should put those cards to the side.
You can right now.
Yeah, you have the option to, if you don't like your opening hand, to just put it down and draw right off
just
the top.
Just for speed,
and then,
really.
And then shuffle afterwards.
Or you can shuffle if you want.
I would adopt that to this as well. I think that is important because shuffling 100 cards takes a lot more time, especially when it's double-sleeved or triple-sleeved or whatever you want to go in that direction.
Right.
But for Modern, I talked about earlier that, you know, the format itself has the problem of how do I sideboard for all of these different strategies that are coming at me from different angles? And this does help solve that problem. I now can get to specific sideboard cards a lot more efficiently than I used to be able to. So I can, instead of spending four slots on Stony Silence, can spend two slots. And that gives me...
Because of the London Mulligan.
I have a better chance to find that sideboard card.
Because when I do Mulligan, I'll be able to pick and choose my hand.
Is it that big of a difference from four to two? Like,
it seems significant.
It depends on the card. And I think most people don't play four of a single sideboard card.
Right.
And that's kind of the problem is, like, you're already like, I need four, but I'm only going to play three because I really want to sneak in this one random card because I want to be able to take on Death Shadow randomly, who's a really bad matchup for me, even though I'm probably going to lose. Like, there's, like, 15 cards is tight. I mean, Paulo Vito Dama de Rosa has argued multiple times that we should go up to 20 cards as a sideboard option.
So you have more bullets.
So you have more bullets. Yeah.
Interesting.
And so, like, this is an option there. It adds a very weird metagame of, like, sideboarding against your sideboard, against my sideboard versus your sideboard more than it ever has. Where, like, if I'm a Dredge player, I now know the chances that my opponent has Leyline of the Void So Dredge is a deck that plays out of your graveyard for people that don't know that.
If they have Leyline of the Void, you just lose.
You just lose. Well, you don't just lose. They like have ways of getting around it. But now I'm like, okay, they're going to have Leyline of the Void, which means I need to make sure I get to my Naturalize effect. And as long as I get there, I can beat their Leyline of the Void. But now as the Leyline of the Void player, I need to make sure I have two Leylands of the Void.
So now I got to play three Naturalizes. Yeah, then, I'll play four Leylands.
So there's like a weird moment there that I think actually is kind of fun, or at least will be fun the first 10 times I do it. And I'm worried that it won't be, but... there's a lot of strategy there, and does give like good players better strengths.
Does it help combo decks too much? Yeah,
but so if you guys don't know, the reason that this has been, and Frank Carson wrote a whole article about it, which is like, you know, Tron decks, decks that want to get certain cards in their hand, they can mulligan more aggressively and be like, cool, I can, now that I can pick and choose the best 5-6 cards out of the 7, you have a much higher chance of mulliganing into a good hand.
Yes, God hand, it does help them, but the metagame of sideboard cards also is worse for them. Now Tron has a higher chance of running into Stony Silence or running into land destruction. And so...
And if they aggressively mulliganed to find it, they're going to have less cards in hand.
Correct.
So well, it could just be
a... I'm really excited to be the Thoughtseize player against the player who's playing combo on the... On the
goes
draw,
down to four, and you're
goes on the four, like I have my perfect pieces, and like Thoughtseize, and then they lose.
And you're like, well, I have up four cards on you, and you have nothing else going on.
So like, there's it does help combo, so but it helps the ability to fight combo, right? And especially if we go a month later and Modern Horizons comes out, and we get Force of Will, like that, I think is a really good kind of double punch of yes, combos get better, but control decks have a better way to fight them,
right?
So I think,
and
that,
so the combo player might be like, I would like to go search for the perfect hand, but that actually will cause me to lose more likely than
in game two against a Thoughtseize player. Yeah. So like, I think there's a lot of play and skill testing that gets involved with this kind of mulligan rule, which has
you have to really know your opponent. And their decks.
But then it makes it so there's less games where like I mulled the five, now I lose, and I think that
I just didn't ever hit my second land drop and it's over.
Instead, they could have looked at their hand and be like, great, I need to keep these three lands because I was able to draw seven and see seven cards instead of just whatever the top five were.
And so I'm really in favor of it. I think it's better for Magic in general, and Modern has the tools to deal with it. And every time you go through the thought exercise, you get to the point of like, yes, combo decks get better, but so do the decks trying to fight them, and so do
so maybe it evens out at least. Yeah,
like the deck that gets worse is Burn. Like decks that need just, doesn't matter how many cards I have, I just need
so
the most
redundant
of them. Storm gets worse because Storm's a combo deck, but Storm's a combo deck that really just needs all of the cards in its deck available. Yeah. So like those decks get worse. Cards that are interesting that get better are ones that don't want cards in their hand. So decks playing Bridge from Below. And the Commander, this is true too. Like I'm really excited because I am a Commander player that plays Bridge from Below. In fact, when I've been on game nights, I had multiple of my favorite decks that I couldn't play because they don't attack. and so this is better for those decks. I no longer need a hand size. I have a Malfurgor deck that was built to never have hand cards. And so on your guys' end...
But you could always just mulligan into Oblivion.
True, but now I get to like mulligan down to three cards and make
that
sure I have
really
lands.
Good. Gotcha.
Like, I don't want no
That's
cards.
That's true, because in the current rule, if you're at five and you mulligan down to four, what if you just have no lands in that hand?
Right.
So that leads us to the next point, which is we're talking about this all because likely, and I want to preface this by saying, yes, I'm on the Commander Advisory Group, but this is not coming from that, right? We haven't talked about or made any decisions about what will happen with London Mulligan because nobody knows what's going to happen, so it's not a lot of point for us to worry about it
pretty
yet.
Pretty far out.
So this is not reflective of any of those that group's thoughts or anything that's happened there, okay? So don't read too much into this. But likely, I would say, as my just normal person self, if London Mulligan became the default Mulligan rule for the rest of Magic, which if it works in Modern, they're going to adopt it for Limited and Standard almost for sure.
And Legacy and Vintage are weird, and they might not even adopt it for that.
But they won't care. Right. But that I think we're in a state where, like, in general, the Rules Committee has shown the desire to keep their rules as close as they can to the rest of Magic. We went to the Vancouver Mulligan. So I think it would be very likely that if... The Modern, Limited, and Standard all went to London Mulligan. Presumably Pauper and everything else would too. That Commander would follow suit. And so the question then becomes, is that a good thing?
I think it's fine. Partial Paris was the real offender.
Well, even then, Partial Paris was fine. This is bad.
Not even close to as good as Partial Paris.
Right, yeah. So,
yeah, exactly. That was the real offender. What this is doing, I think, just makes the feel bads less. And I think in the format as diverse as Commander, I don't think it's going to... Like, Modern, like, everyone's poised to, like, hit each other in specific ways. Maybe CEDH will see a big boost out of this because there's less interaction between decks where Modern... Whereas there's a lot of, like, point and counterpoint with Modern. CEDH might just be like, how do I blast out in turn three and win faster than everyone else?
But I mean, I think CDH would fall under, and I could be wrong, sorry, competitive players, the same thing as Modern, right? Where like a combo deck might get better, but also your opponents are more likely to be able to mull into just having an answer. And they can see your commander in your command zone. Right. So, and competitive players mostly know what all those decks are doing.
Right. That, the nice thing is you know what you're playing against. Yeah. I've played, so me and Ben play a format called Highlander Roulette that's comparable to competitive EDH. It's a 100-card singleton format.
It's like Canadian Highlander a little bit.
Yeah. They usually have six decks. Yeah. The closest is actually like competitive cube is actually what we've realized it's kind of close to. But it is...
Very, very strong decks.
Very, very strong decks and very linear. And you're trying to attack a person and like Tinker Blightsteel is the main thing you're doing in the format. And kind of what we've discovered is there's not as many sideboard cards once you get to 100-card singleton as there are in 60-card decks.
Right, it might
be a little bit more difficult. I think they do what Legacy does. Like, I think they're comparable to Legacy. It's a similarly sized audience. True. And if Legacy decides to
card pool too,
go to the 7-card size thing, they do it. If Legacy and Vintage decide to dig their heel is in and keep on the Paris Mulligan or the Vancouver Mulligan, then I think they switch. And I think that's
do you think who switches?
I think they stay with whatever Legacy and Vintage is doing.
You think who does?
Competitive EDH.
You think they split off then from the regular commander rules?
I think they split off from the remit. I think they do whatever Legacy does. If I'm controlling them, which I don't, they might just do whatever.
They don't have a controlling body.
Oh, then they do what Commander does.
It's hard for them to do something.
I don't know much about
They could form one at the moment. They follow the regular ban list and the rules committee and everything else. I don't think they're a large enough group to split off, so they're having trouble doing it.
Isn't there a separate ban list?
That for 1v1, you're talking about French commander. Oh, you're talking about dual commander. We're talking about competitive multiplayer commander.
Yeah. Got it. Competitive multiplayer commander will stay with
whatever
rule. Okay. French commander 1v1 might stay with wherever Legacy is at. I don't. Yeah, cool.
I could see that actually because
they have a different ban list.
It's closer to Legacy than it is to.
But I do think that in general this is really good. I know I played at GPLA with Shiv and Bot and a bunch of other people played with the new London rule and it just was great.
We did it a couple times at GPLA just to try it. I was like, hey, do you guys want to try it? And honestly, at GPs all the time, I'm like, don't go down to 5. Just go to 7.
Go back, it's right, fine.
Like, how often are we all playing together? Like, I just want people to play Magic. So if that's our attitude, of course, any mulligan's going to be fine.
Right. Yeah. But when we stuck people, when we played that mulligan, there were times where people had to go down to 5 and they stuck to it. And it was way better than before when they went down to 5 and they just lost.
At least you probably play some Magic. Like, you're definitely disadvantaged, but you probably have enough lands to, like, maybe get to your commander or something. But if you mold a 5 in the old rule, a lot of times you're like, I just don't have a land, and that's just it.
Now in Commander, I think I've won more games that I've mulled to 5 than I've stayed at, like, or that
even
like
in Modern 7 or something.
Or that Modern, because like...
Yeah, because you can sit there and nobody's going to kill you sometimes.
Well, there's like the old joke of like, do I not play my second land in Commander? Just because then people like look like I'm weak, and then people are like, oh, I don't want to mess with Alex. He was mana flooded for 3 turns, and I'm just like, ha.
Ha. I'm just a
doomsday.
Delayed
enter
start.
My deck, Storm.
Oh, gosh.
Okay, well, very interesting. To the listeners, we got a couple of questions. One is, what do you think of the London Mulligan rule? Are you in favor of it? Do you think it'll make a big difference? No difference at all?
Have you tried it?
You tried it out? Yeah.
Is it a better name than Vancouver?
Is it?
I'm starting a war between London and Canada, guys.
Why? Is it a 3-syllable name that you don't like? Vancouver?
Yeah, less syllables.
The Couve. You could just call it the Couve.
Yeah, yeah. Also, like, there's the Couve Mulligan?
That's actually Vancouver, Washington's the Couve.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. I grew up in the Pacific Northwest as well.
Got it.
The second to the listener's question is...
I'm all about the West Coast.
What reprints are you most hoping for in Modern Horizons that we didn't talk about? Are there any that you think should have been on the list that you think, you know, have a good chance of being reprinted? We'd love to see in the comments people listen out there.
I'm sad most want to be reprinted.
Kess Descendant Mage.
Yeah.
I want Fetchlands.
And if you are really worried that Force of Will is going to be reprinted and therefore rise in price because the demand will suddenly spike, then you can go to cardkingdom.com/commandzone right now. Use that affiliate link to order Force of Will, any of the cards in our list that might go up, or any other cards that like you think might be affected by these cards being reprinted, or you know, just whatever card you're building a deck around at the moment. It doesn't have to do anything with this episode. You're gonna buy Magic cards anyway. Just use the affiliate link. When you do, you're supporting all of our content.
What's the Phoenix, not the it's a Sphinx that you can play from exile that's blue,
the one that goes in the Tazri decks and the Food Chain decks?
Yeah,
I forget.
Mistborn Phoenix,
Mistborn something, yeah,
something along those lines. And there's also the Tornado Sphinx Elemental.
Isn't it a Falcon or something?
Anyway. Whatever, both of those, pitch the Force, will exile it. Now you got it, play it.
Oh, boom.
Bam. Modern legal. And that's like something that might be okay in Modern. Yeah.
Okay.
I can't find it. All right. Another way to support the show while you are at Card Kingdom or your local game store is Ultra Pro Products. They adorn our playmats. They adorn our battlefields every single time we go out there and raise the flag and try to win some games with any mulligan rule whatsoever. Ultra Pro will be there for you.
Mm-hmm.
So make sure you buy some Ultra Pro product while you guys are out there. All right. Let's move on to the end step now, Alex, where we talk about something cool outside the world of Magic. Of course, this usually goes to the special guest spot. So what do you got for us?
Oh, right. We chose Umbrella Academy.
Something you two watched?
Alex,
I have not.
We're like, hey, Alex, you got to think of an end step. He's like, I could do one of these 27 things. We got to choose one.
Well, A, like, one was Apex. You guys did it already. Another one was, like, Meh, which is, I've been watching Black Clover, and it's just goth fairy tale and mediocre.
See, this is the door opening exactly for him to talk about all 27. Umbrella Academy.
Umbrella Academy, which is a Netflix show that came out, I think, 3 weeks ago, and is about, it's kind of like X-Men. It was written, it's based on the comic by the lead singer of My Chemical Romance.
Right. Very interesting.
And... it's cool. It's a bunch of kids that like
are superheroes,
but they're like semi-dysfunctional and their dad's super abusive. And then it like flashes forward to them being adults and they're all like miserable. And then them trying to figure out how to get along with each other and recome to the superheroes. And then the world's
ending. Also saving the world. Yeah, the world inevitably.
One of the characters is definitely the best character, which is the younger brother. Well, there's a brother. They're all the same age. Klaus. No.
Oh, the five.
So he has the ability to teleport, and he accidentally.
This show, but this sounds awesome.
He teleports into the future, and then gets stuck there, and then lives for 30 years ish in the future by himself,
post and then gets back.
And then gets back, but then he's a kid again.
So he's like a 50-year-old man stuck in a 12-year-old's body. Or body.
Cool. And he has teleport powers, so it's like the best use of teleporting since Nightcrawler in X2. And so like he like fights an entire diner of. Mercenaries and like kills them all with a butter knife, and it's like dope.
Okay, I'm watching this show now.
Yeah. It does have the Netflix problem of like the middle two episodes could go away.
It's a little too long. Yeah, I liked it. I thought it was good.
I really liked the ending. I liked when they all started actually doing stuff, and there's just like a little bit, and there's a bunch of cool stuff in the middle, and there's cool time travel cops.
Good action?
Great action. That's like one of the things that has going for it.
All right, cool.
And then, yeah, also reading the Stormlight Archive. Got in there.
I'm also rereading it because the new one's on its way. And
well,
so,
he did the outline.
Yeah. So, right, well, he's prolific and he writes pretty fast. So it's on the way.
Yeah. He's really good. Yeah. He also did the most recent Magic story and one of the.
We're talking about Brandon Sanderson, who we've talked about on the show before.
Okay.
Cool guy.
Also a big time Magic player.
Yeah. I'd love to play Magic with him sometime.
Yeah. That would be sweet.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, that's a great end step. Thanks, guys. I'm definitely going to check out Umbrella Academy. Now, I would be amiss to say that we don't have a sister podcast, but we do have a sister podcast. And Alex Kessler, you are one of the hosts alongside Ben Bateman. What is your podcast?
Oh, yeah, I usually do this part, but yes, you're here.
Yeah.
Pitch your podcast, everybody.
I'm a podcast.
Yeah, finally. We're going to relax, sip on the drink.
Cool. Yeah.
The big news that's happened recently is we now have a YouTube channel. So we've been like bad at being on YouTube for so long because...
This is not a good start, Alex. We have been bad at blank. No.
I don't know. It's a great start. I'm just resting my vocal cords.
We are the competitive Magic version of this podcast. We talk about Modern specifically, which is why they brought me on to the Modern podcast. Sure. We are at collected.company with these guys. And the new big news is that we have a YouTube channel. We're now releasing videos. We now have cards in the videos. We now edit and produce them. We have a producer that's helping us. So it's really exciting. We're growing really, really quickly because we previously just weren't posting things on YouTube because we didn't have the time. And now because of our Patreon and the people like you, we are able to pay for a producer that's helping us grow and making it really strong. It is youtube.com/TheMMCast.
Sweet.
We always just tell them to type in Masters of Modern.
Yeah, just search in that. Yeah, a lot easier. Masters of Modern. And yeah, we do great times all the time.
How are things going over at Kesco? Anything else you want to plug?
Yeah, we did a Kickstarter. It was Battle Bosses. A lot of you guys backed it. And there's a backer kit out there. So if you haven't filled in like all the details you want from it, it makes it hard for us to make it. So please do that. We also have Kes is just releasing a bunch of toys. If you go to Walmart or a Target or a Party City, there's a bunch of like really shiny hula hoops. That's us. We achieved becoming the largest manufacturer of hula hoops in the world this year.
No way.
Which is really cool.
Didn't like your great-grandfather or something invent the hula hoop?
My great-grandfather had the patent on the hula hoop, was original manufacturer. During
original patent on the hula hoop.
In 1956 to 8 period.
That's pretty cool.
And then
So you're just keeping up the family legacy.
Yeah, I'm
though.
The third generation of Kessler to make a hula hoop. My dad had a company called Maui Toys. They did the wave hoop. If you ever bought a shiny hula hoop with water in it, that was them. I was in the commercials when I was in middle school and it was embarrassing. Now I make them.
And drop dots.
And drop dot balls, which are cool balls. We also have a really cool thing coming out that I can't talk about yet in May. that is using drop dots, but I can't talk about it yet.
Cool.
So, but you guys will have one. I'll give one to you to show to people.
All right. Sweet.
In like April, May.
Well, Hula Hoop King Alex Kessler, thank you for gracing us with your presence and talking about Modern Horizons with us.
Yeah.
You know, we would be lost if we tried to actually engage about what is likely to be in Modern. In fact, I think our first reprint list, I put Mana Crypt on there, so obviously I have no idea what I'm doing.
Like, the first list you guys sent had top,
yeah, it's true,
Strip Mine and Mana Crypt, and the two of those cards, I was like, well, that one's legal but banned.
yeah.
And Strip Mine's banned everywhere.
We don't know what's in Modern. Thanks for keeping us straight. Our episodes are... Did we already do this part? No.
No.
Our editor for the episode is Ashlyn Rose and maybe Josh Murphy.
Murph.
We're not sure. We're in a transitionary period where a lot of people are getting their hands on the podcast. So yeah. One of those two or maybe both of them. And also special thanks to Jeffrey Palmer, who does all our animations that begin and end the show. In fact, he does the Living Cards at Living Cards MTG.
We're
Cabal Stronghold behind us. And most of the things you see in the window behind us are done by Jeffrey. So you can follow him at Living Cards MTG.
Cabal coffers.
I thought you guys got out a great view.
Yeah. Well, that's not really a great view, honestly.
Yeah, that's not
if you're
good
seeing
at all.
That out your window, probably something bad's happening.
Yeah. Also, we have great soundproofing.
It looks like the orcs from World of Warcraft are going to bust out of that thing in any second.
Yep, you're not wrong.
And like these windows, apparently no sound can get through them because I think you'd just be hearing a...
The whole set would be like shaking.
Yeah.
All right, everybody. Thanks for watching.
And we will see you next time.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Peace.
Bye.
For further inquiries, send an email to commandcast@rocketjump.com or ask us on Twitter @JFWong and @JoshLeeKwai. See you later, alligator.
Greetings, humans.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.